I think I can remember one in the early 50s. That makes it over 50 years. So I don't know if this is the 58th reunion or the 60th or whatever, but it's been a long time, right? Right. Also, pardon? It's been longer than that. Right. Well, for those of you that were here at the prayer meeting this morning, my sermon's already been preached. I guess the thoughts that were laid upon my heart when I was asked to preach the opening sermon for the reunion was, what about reunions? Why are they? Why do we come? Why do we have them? And, you know, the trivia of, well, let's define a reunion. What is a reunion? And I thought, well, I'd like to bring you something scriptural about reunions. And so I attempted to look up something about them in the Bible or the Book of Mormon, and I suppose it won't come as a surprise to you. I didn't find anything. That word's not there in either book. So I said, well, what are reunions? So I had to resort to the dictionary. I hate to do that. But it says it's an act of being reunited. Well, when I was growing up in school, they told me you're not supposed to use the word you're trying to define in the definition. And that's exactly what the dictionary did, the act of being reunited. Then it went on to say a reuniting of persons after a separation. Well, that made sense. Benny made the comment this morning that he was seeing people that he hadn't seen since last year and maybe some that he hadn't seen for several years. So bringing together people after a separation, or simply to bring together. And so I guess the best way to say it is we came here for togetherness. There are some words, however, synonyms to reunion that I did find in the scriptures. And I'll bring a couple of them to you. We can look at the word unite. It's there. It's in the Bible once, and I found about 7 references in the Book of Mormon to the word unite. The word united, we add the ED, you know. We hope we're united. It occurs in the Bible and also in the Book of Mormon 11 times. And then there are some other terms which I'll get to following that. But let's look at the first one. It's the word united. It occurs in Psalms. It's the 86th Psalm, and it's the 11th verse. And it says, teach me thy way, O Lord, I will walk in thy truth. And isn't that our goal? Don't we come here for that, in the truth of the Lord? And it says, unite my heart to fear thy name. To hear of the Lord, to learn of him, and be united with him. That's pretty straightforward. Then if we go to the Book of Mormon, as I said, there were 7 references. I'm just going to pick on one of them. I don't want to be up here a long time this morning, but it's in the Book of Omni. It's on page 202 in the Book of Mormon. It's the first chapter. I think there's only one chapter in Omni. And it's the 34th verse. And this is after the people of Zarahemla had found Messiah, and he's going to interpret some plates that were presented to him. And it says here in verse 34, and it came to pass that the people of Zarahemla and of Mosiah did unite together, and Mosiah was appointed to be their king. In other words, two peoples, diverse, separated geographically, were brought together. They were united. And we hope we're that way. We come from different areas of the country, geographically, We hope to come here and be united. Well, I've read you one reference in Psalm about united how, but let's go a little further. For my next reference, I'm going to pick on the word united. There's one in Genesis, but I'm going to go to 2 Nephi, the first chapter. It's on page 80, if you're following along. And it's the 36th verse. Page 80, 36th verse of the first chapter of 2 Nephi. Arise from the dust, my sons, and be men, and be determined in one mind. That's sort of like in the Psalms where it said, united with the Lord. And in one heart, united in all things, that you may not come down into captivity, that you may not be cursed with a sore cursing, and also that you may not incur the displeasures of a just God upon you, unto the destruction, yea, the eternal destruction of both soul and body. And so, that's an effort for which I think we come together today, to be united, not for destruction, but for a heavenly and righteous cause. There are a couple more verses, though, in the Book of Mormon that, although they're not really synonyms, we can link them or link them to the terms united and look at it as a reunion. These verses are usually used in the context of services in your locals that you come from the various places that you've traveled or here locally. And the term is meet together oft. Have you ever heard that? Sure you have. Meet together oft. Let's go to 3 Nephi. It's on page 652. Third Nephi, chapter 8, and I'm going to look at I'm going to start with verse 52, and I may read through 55, but verse 53 is the one we're going to look at. Starting at 52, it says, pray in your families unto the Father. I'm sure you all do that. Always in my name, that your wives and your children may be blessed. And behold, you shall meet together oft. And you shall not forbid any man from coming unto you when you shall meet together, but suffer them that they may come unto you, and forbid them not. But you shall pray for them, and shall not cast them out. And if it be so that they come unto you oft, you will pray for them unto the Father. We spoke about prayer this morning. I told you my sermon had already been preached. In my name, therefore, hold up your light, that it may shine unto the world. That's why we come here. We come here to pray together, to meet together off, to invite others in. Those maybe that haven't been here for a while, or haven't been to our reunion for a couple of years. And to polish up that light bulb so we can hold up the light. What is it? It's the light of Jesus, the truth of the gospel that we... that it may shine unto the world. The second reference is in Moroni, and it's on page 762. And it's Moroni, chapter 6, verse 6. And it says, and the church did meet together oft, to fast and to pray. We quite often are asked to come to services or to reunions or whatever in a state of fasting and to speak one with another concerning the welfare of their souls. That's why we come to the reunion. How's it going with you? How's life treating you? Perhaps there's something we can say or do that will help someone else. They'll say, that's an answer to a problem I was having. And they did meet together off to partake of bread and wine. We'll do that Sunday morning. We'll take of the sacrament to reunite our hearts in our conviction, our covenant with our Lord and Savior Jesus and what he did for us. And it says, in remembrance of the Lord Jesus, for we do everything that we do, or we should, in his name. That's why we come to a reunion. Now I want to lay a charge upon you. I gave a sermon recently, and part of it was talking about the responsibility of the church, the responsibility of the people of the church. And I want to make a statement and see how you take this statement. The responsibility of the gospel and of being united in the word before the Lord, the people or the church are the first line of defense against the world and the evil that's out there. Did you know that? You're all soldiers in the army of the Lord, but you are the first line of defense. And you say, well, what about the ministry? The ministry are the cavalry. You call them in when you need help. They lead, they direct, but you're the ones who individually have to face the problems and the trials of the world. And so we come to the reunion, sort of like you take your battery to Walmart. We want to get charged up. We want to be reinvigorated. We want to learn how it's going in other places. Compare it to how we're doing it here, that we can all be united in the gospel and the Lord. That's our responsibility. I don't know if the ministry thinks of themselves as cavalry, but that's the way I look at it. The people mix with the public all the time, at work, at school. You're rubbing shoulders with everyone out there every day. You give your testimonies. We heard some of that this morning. You go to talk to someone or help someone, and you get an opportunity to open up and explain something about the gospel. Or they ask you a question. Maybe you didn't have the answer. You come here, and we can share those things. We can talk about it. Over lunch, over dinner. We can learn from each other. We can be united. There's an example, and you're going to think this is a strange example, but it's in Matthew. And it's in the 18th chapter. I'm going to start with the 15th verse, and this is the example, and I used this in a sermon recently, of what you do when you have problems, and particularly problems with others. And it says, moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, take with thee one or two or more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And then verse 17 says, and if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. That's why I said, and I use this as an example, that in your relationships to people around you, you are the first line of defense. And then when you need help or you need some leadership intervention, eventually you come to the church or your pastor or your missionary in charge as he makes a visit to you, as he comes through your local. But that responsibility of bearing up and spreading the truth and being a defense and giving your testimony is yours individually. And if you need help, like I said, you can call the cavalry. Some of you I know have worked with governments or you've worked with large corporations. You work with IBM. Yeah, big company. Okay, when these corporations want to rejuvenate their people, they have seminars. They go out and rent a place like Tamterra down here in southern Missouri. And then they take all of their supervisors there so that they can teach them the latest things, sort of a pep rally, if you will, to get them stimulated so they can create more products to sell, or just to get the salesman pumped up so that they will raise sales. That's the way the world does it. Well, we do it the same way. That's what a reunion is for. You come here. This is your pep rally. This is where we hope you're going to get all pumped up and excited, and you're going to go home and tell the story. Tell your experiences. Tell your brothers and sisters about the latest blessing that you had. We heard a couple this morning in the prayer service. You're going to bear your testimonies. This is your pep rally. Gives you strength. It gives you courage. You know, you're a little timid, you're a little afraid to speak up, particularly out there in the public, but you shouldn't be. Just pretend like, you know, you're talking to one of the church members and tell them how it is. We get instruction here. We get ideas. You know, the young people are going to come back from camp, and you're going to take them home with you to your locals. And they've learned some things. You might even have a special service to find out what they learned. Talk to them. Include them. Hear their testimonies. That'll be real important. And maybe there's something that someone's doing in a local, an idea for services or how to generate interest in your community, and you'll say, that's a good idea. I think I'll go home and try that. You get those here from your brothers and sisters who are united in the faith. In Matthew 18 here, if we look on down in this chapter, there's another verse, and it's a very important verse. It's verse 20. And these are the words of Jesus. And he says, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. So when we come here, not only are we going to meet our brothers and sisters we haven't seen for a while, but we can expect to meet Jesus. We can expect to have the Holy Spirit here with us. We can expect to have his influence in our services, in the other sermons that will be preached, in our prayer services and our testimonies. And it says it only takes two or three. We've got more than that right now, this morning. And by this time tomorrow and Sunday, we're going to have a lot more. Hopefully all of these seats will be filled. And indeed, we should expect to have Jesus here. I was led to a chapter of 1 Peter. It's chapter 4. But I might read it to you. But I would encourage you to think about the things I've said so far after the service and through the reunion. Why are you here? From chapter 4 of 1 Peter, it begins like this. For as much then as Jesus hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind, for he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin. That's our goal, to cease from sin. That he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God. And we should have that as our goal also. We shouldn't be socializing with the world. We shouldn't be partaking of all of their activities. It should be within groups like this one, with fellow believers, with God as our head. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles. And he looks back here, and I think some of us, I know I can. He says, the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lascivious lusts, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries, wherein they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. Isn't that true? The world wants you to join them in all of these things that they do. And when you don't, then you're a peculiar person. But that's what we strive to be, a peculiar people in the Lord. Isn't that right? Who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead. For this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to the men in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit. But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. That's kind of interesting because we recognize that throughout the New Testament, and the preachings of particularly Paul, but here also Peter, they're thinking that the end is not too far away and we're actually looking for the second coming of Christ. Well, the end was at hand, all right, because Christianity was going to be turned and there was going to be persecution and inquisitions and the Dark Ages was going to be upon them. And it was going to be a rough time for 1,260 years. But Christ's time was not yet. We now are looking at the end of the Gentile period. And at some point in time, Christ will return. Whether we will live to see that or not, I don't know. Probably not. I'm getting older. I was glad to hear this morning Benny in his opening remarks and his opening prayer. He prayed for the elderly. I was glad you did that because one of these days I'm going to be there. Yeah. Okay. And he says here, continuing in verse 8, and above all things have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Where do we learn that charity? But in our services and from each other by being united. Use hospitality one to another without grudging, as every man hath received the gift, even to ministering the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. That's one of those areas where I got the idea that you're the first line of defense for your brothers and against the world. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. Randy spoke this morning in his testimony about Peggy. Why did she linger for that whole week? God had a reason, and he did his work. And he used Peggy. He used the Geyer family. Praise be to God. But Peggy then succumbed. We don't understand that because of our frail minds. But he says, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. That's what we're seeking. The joy of Christ. And if you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are you. That's like saying, persecute me. No. But when you are persecuted, recognize that you have a mission as that first line of defense to stand up for Christ and have joy. Happy are you, for the Spirit of glory and God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. God will always stand behind you and will help you. But let none of you suffer as a murderer or thief or as an evildoer or as a busybody in other men's affairs. No, we've got better things to do than all that. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on his behalf. That's important. And to be able to do that, that's why we come to reunions. To socialize with those who believe. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? We don't want to be in that group. We want to be here with each other, with God. That's who we've come to see. Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful creator. That's our mission. So we see that although I couldn't find the word reunion in the Bible in the Book of Mormon, the cause, the definition is there. That we be united in Jesus Christ. As I said before, we have come here to get recharged from each other, from the scriptures, from our experiences. And so we can take it home that we can be better members of the Church of Christ, that we can let our light shine, that we can give our testimony, that we can explain to people why we believe what we believe and be firm in it. This is your filling station. And while we're here, we should get filled up. Thank you very much for listening to me this morning. Enjoy your reunion, enjoy each other, and praise the Lord. Thank you.